بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. وعن علي رضي الله عنه قال كنا في جنازة في بقيع الغنقد فأتانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقعد وقعدنا حوله ومعه مخصرة فنكس وجعل ينكت بمخصرته ثم قال ما منكم من أحد إلا وقد كتب مقعده من النار ومقعده من الجنة. فقالوا يا رسول الله أفلا نتكل على كتابنا؟ فقال اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. وذكر تمام الحديث متفق عليه. The chapter الموعظة عند القبر, giving advice at the graveside of an individual. This hadith, already two sessions we have discussed this hadith just to complete it. And as I mentioned, this hadith passed previously also. Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu narrates that we were in a janazah in Baqiyul Gharqad, the graveyard of Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us and he sat down. Ostensibly this would mean he sat down on the ground in the graveyard. وَقَعَدَنَا حَوْلَهُ We sat around the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a stick in his hand. He began knocking the ground and marking the ground with the stick. And thereafter, he rendered some advice. So in other words, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has established this subject matter to take ghanimat, to take advantage of the situation where ulama-i-kiram say رُؤْيَةُ الْمَيِّتُ وَذِكْرُ الْمَوْتِ يُرَقِّقُ الْقَلْبُ وَيُذْهِبْ غِلْذَتَهُ That the sight of a mayyit, of a janaza, the remembrance of death, this is something that softens the heart and it removes what we call غِلْذَت, harshness or the rust that is on the heart. When it comes to the advices of deen, it's not that we don't know these things. People are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not because they don't know that these things are haram. It is because the heart is not taking effect from the reminders that are being given to us. Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that this was a unique feature of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Sahabi says, خَتَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُعِذَةً بَلِيغَةً ذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ وَوَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبِ He says, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making khutbah and giving us advice. One is the manner in which we listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other is what the Sahabi describes, the reaction upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ There was not a single eye that was dry. وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبِ There was not a single heart that was not tremoring with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what our akabirin tell us when it comes to the talks of deen or the advices that are given to us. One of the important maqasid and objectives that we should be extremely concerned about. One is just to listen to the words. The other is كَيْفَ يَتَأَثَّرْ قُلُوبُنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ وَكَلَامِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ How the heart can take effect. How the heart can take effect from the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that the manzar and scene of mort and death, graveyard, seeing the janazah in front of you, seeing perhaps the partially dug grave, visualizing that this is the eventual abode. Like recently there was one alim, one of our kabirin of Raiwin, he was giving this karguzari. That he says it was a graveyard and the advices were being given. The alim was giving the advice. He pointed to the mayyit And he said that if you have to postulate and think in your mind's eye that this individual, this mayyit, this janazah is informed that miraculously we are going to give you an extension of 24 hours. What do you think he would do? He's asking the others that are present. So naturally the answer to this, obviously spend the time in the masjid, make tawbah. If he has some financial burden that he has not discharged, he'll make attempts quickly to try to address it. If he was hoarding the money, he'll pay the person. If he was not hoarding the money, he'll at least ask the person's forgiveness. If there's anyone that he has slighted or injured or made riba about, he'll ask for forgiveness. If there is some family member that he has broken up ties with, he will try and repair that. He'll spend the day in the masjid. There will not be a single azan that will fall on deaf ears. If he had made intention, maybe he was making intention to spend 4 months or 40 days, now he'll renew or refresh that intention. That, Ya Allah, definitely, if you give me an extension, I will go in the path of Allah Ta'ala, I will do this, I will do that, all sorts of things. This is the type of answer that we would expect. And then, he said, this is Allah's sunnat. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. Allah does not deviate from His sunnat. لَيُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. When the time of mort and death comes, not a single soul is going to be given even 1 second's extension. He said, this mayyit is not getting 24 hours. But the sabak and lesson and the important thing I want you people to take to heart is that every one of you very likely has another 24 hours. So what are you going to do with that? So we find that one is just giving the advice, the other is the graveyard, the manzar and scene of mort and death in front. It has obviously a different effect. So coming back to this, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting in the graveyard, sahaba around him, and that too a stick in his hand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is scratching the ground with that stick, and then at that time he says to sahaba, ma minkum min ahad, every one of you without exception, his eventual abode, kutiba maqaduhu min an-nar wa maqaduhu min al-jannah, his eventual abode in Jahannam and his eventual abode in Jannat is ordained, is decreed, is written down. Allah has already ordained it. So sahaba, when they heard this, they said, Ya Rasulullah, afala natakiru ala kitabina. That, Ya Rasulullah, if it is already ordained and decreed and set in stone, rufiatil aqlam wa jaffatis suhuf, like we find in other riwayat, the pens have been lifted, the pages are dry. If it is already decreed whether eventually I'm going to be a jannati or eventually I'm going to be a jahannami, then, Ya Rasulullah, should we not rely upon that decree? What is the need for us to strive and stress and exert ourselves in amal? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'amalu, exert yourself in amal. Do not rely upon Allah's decree, that which you know that Allah Ta'ala has already decreed. Do not let that cause you to become complacent in amal and good deeds. I'amalu, exert yourself in amal. Fakullun muyassarun lima khuliqa lahu. Everyone is facilitated towards that for which he was created." And وَذَكَرَ تَمَامَ الْحَدِيثِ, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions that the rest of the hadith, obviously it's not part of the subject matter passed previously. This is why Imam Nawawi has not mentioned the entire hadith. But in the hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the verses of the Qur'an, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, the one who believes, tasdeeq in akhirat, spends in the way of Allah, adopts taqwa, Allah says, we will make it easy for him to find the road to Jannah. The one who is miserly, and who he holds back in this dunya, belies akhirat, we will make it easy for him to find the road towards Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. In other words, a very large section of this hadith deals with what we call taqdeer or predestination. Now this one is the belief in taqdeer. This is part of our iman. There's no levity or rope that the Shariat gives us so far as that is concerned. To believe in taqdeer, in predestination, is part of iman. Allah has predestined. Nothing happens without the will of Allah Ta'ala. Every action is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is in control of everything. This is important and this is a belief that we have. Now, over and above that, we will find that, like I said, this is a slippery slope if we do not adopt what the Shariat teaches us. What the Shariat teaches us, it is not necessary and it is not even possible for us to understand, for us to fully comprehend and understand taqdeer. Allah is Khaliq. Allah is the creator. We are makhluk, we are created. That which is Khaliq, creator, is infinite. There are no limits to Allah Ta'ala. Huwa al-awwal wal-akhiru wal-zahiru wal-batin. Allah is the first, Allah is the last. Allah is first without a beginning, last without an ending. Allah is apparent, Allah is concealed, Allah is in complete control. Allah is infinite, we are finite. Allah is unlimited, we are limited. Like Allah's sifat and attributes are unlimited, every aspect of us as human beings has limitations, weaknesses, deficiencies, shortcomings. Among them is our intellect. We cannot fully comprehend the sifat and attributes of Allah because we are limited, we are finite, and He is infinite. To try to fully understand or comprehend every aspect of Allah Ta'ala is like a person trying to take a half a ton boulder and place it on his head. What will happen? He'll get crushed. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day he came out and he saw Sahaba were discussing taqdeer. Sahaba say, mafhum of the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became so angry by what he had seen, that it was almost as if you took pomegranate juice, red juice, and sprinkled on the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, has Allah commanded you with this? Are you required to do this, delve into this concept of taqdeer? The nations of the past were destroyed when they did this. So in other words, we are being warned, don't go in this direction. Believe in taqdeer, don't try to fully comprehend taqdeer. Simple example, why it is impossible for us to comprehend taqdeer. Time is Allah's creation. Space is Allah's creation. Our whole lives are dictated by this. By space and the movement of space. By time, we have a past tense, we have a present tense, we have a future tense. Allah created time, Allah created space, Allah is above all that. There's no past tense and future tense and present tense for Allah. 100 years ago now and 100 years from now, for Allah is all equal. Things don't have to happen for Allah to come to know about them. Allah already knows everything. Allah is not committed or confined to space, Allah has created space. So all these concepts are such, when we try to use our limited intellect, and then try to understand these concepts and understand Allah Ta'ala, it's impossible. So what we are required to do, yes, event Allah has already decreed who is going to Jannat, who is going to Jahannam. It doesn't mean Allah has compelled anyone. Allah does not make zulm or oppress anyone. Taqdeer has to do with one quality of Allah Ta'ala, which is Allah Ta'ala's ilm, Allah's knowledge. And Allah's knowledge is eternal. Allah doesn't come to know anything. Allah already knows everything. And Allah is in control of everything. However, when we come across such ahadith, what is important is for us to take the necessary lessons that we learn. What are the lessons? For example, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, اعملوا, strive in actions. Strive in actions. Each one has been facilitated towards that for which he was created. Allah is not compelling any one of you. Allah already knows your eventual outcome. But what that outcome is, Allah knows, you don't know. It's in Allah's knowledge. And Allah does not make zulm or oppress anyone. So, what we learn from this is continuity, sincerity, right up till death in our actions, in exerting ourselves, are absolutely critical. Never ever become complacent. Why? We are taught, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Your actions will be judged according to the ending. So if you are pious today, don't think you are going to remain pious. Things may happen. Your circumstances may change. Allah protect us. So don't become complacent. Don't sit back. Don't relax. Keep exerting yourself. Keep making dua for Allah's guidance. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Good deeds, the fact that you are doing good deeds and obeying Allah Ta'ala, this is a sign of Allah's favor upon you. It's a powerful reminder. Ahadith like this are a powerful reminder of Allah's control, our dependence on Him, and the importance of remaining humble. Do not become proud about your piety or proud over your actions. And keep being fearful and keep being hopeful right up till the end. For example, like Hazrat Umar Sahib, Damat Barakat, Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, Karte roho, darte roho, mangte roho, mante roho, rote roho. Carry on doing, carry on fearing. Karte roho, darte roho, carry on fearing. Is Allah accepting or is Allah rejecting? Could circumstances turn and I go towards the disobedience of Allah, like we are warned? So darte roho, keep fearing, keep obeying the advices that are given. Keep begging and asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayat, for thabat, for steadfastness. Mangte roho, mante roho, rote roho. Carry on crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know and understand, no one, the simple way that ulama explain this, understand this, that no one will be held accountable for his actions which are individual will be held accountable for his actions which are voluntary. Allah has given you a choice. And how you exert or utilize that choice, you will be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the eventual decision of Allah ta'ala, either khair or shar, is dependent on your utilization of that voluntary will which Allah ta'ala has given you, and it is not based on Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge is already set in stone. What the eventual outcome is going to be, Allah already knows that. But like I said, we have to bring iman on these concepts. It's not necessary for us, and it is not even impossible, it is not even possible for us to fully comprehend and understand these things. And sometimes shaitan plays this game, lead us in this direction, ask this question and ask that question, ask that question, and eventually we go into a territory where we become totally confused. There also we are taught in hadith, first of all, don't go in that direction. And if you go in that direction, find yourself going in that direction, آمنت بالله ورسله. I believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا. Like Muhammad Latif gives it very, explains it very beautifully. When Shaitan takes you in this direction, start asking unnecessary questions about taqdeer, etc. He says the example is like when you see a dog barking. There's a dog barking. As you're walking, the dog is barking loudly at you. Now you can do one of two things. You start barking back at the dog. Or if you're an intelligent person and the dog is restrained, ignore the bark and carry on walking. So, shaitan will bark. He'll put all these unnecessary questions. Don't go in that direction. These ahadith where we are told of Allah's knowledge, Allah's qudrat, Allah's power, we bring iman upon it. We believe in taqdeer. And we take the necessary benefit from such ahadith. Don't become complacent. Don't take your iman for granted. Don't take your eventual abode for granted. Keep striving. E'amalu, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, e'amalu, exert yourself in action. So the necessary benefit from such ahadith we take, and we avoid going in that direction which we should not be going to. Allah give us tawfiq subhanahu wa ta'ala.